call to order. The Historic Preservation Commission for Thursday, April 27th, 2023. Luke, could you call the roll, please?
Chairman Franek?
Here.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Here.
Commissioner Graham White?
Here.
Mr. Sager?
Here.
Lorraine O'Hagan?
Here.
Warren?
Here.
Mayor Mirror?
We have a quorum. Item, approval of the minutes for March 23rd. Excuse me. Are there any comments or corrections? Carla, any comments or corrections?
No comments, no corrections.
John? Well said. Scott?
None.
Jan?
None.
David? And I do not have any either. Is there a motion to approve?
I so move.
Is there a second?
I so second.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Commissioner Reno Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Mer. Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
It is passed. Okay. Public comments about things in general regarding preservation. One member in the audience, but I believe that's for a specific item. Therefore, let's move on to the next item, and that is a discussion regarding proposed changes to 559 Edgewood Place.
Oh, yeah.
Let the record reflect that Commissioner Raina Ogden is leaving the room and is recusing himself from the presentation, our discussion, deliberations, and vote. Yeah, and if you could identify yourself as well as your address, please.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Raina Ogden, and I live at 559 Edgewood Place. We've lived there amazingly. June, which I can't. We've lived there a long time, and we have put up with a really, really lousy laundry room. It's in our basement, and it's gross, and it's got all the plumbing stuff right above it, and flop sink, and but we have a really beautiful, wonderful home. Not exactly far with the rest of the house. We have been great stewards of this house. We've been on house tours, and some of you all know David, and if anybody is looking at our house from the sidewalk, he runs outside and invites them in. Gives them tours. So we really are aware of not just the beauty of our house, but also the architectural significance. But the laundry room, there's really no place to put it. And so we're trying to find a spot to have it on the first floor so that when we do go to sell our house at some point, it's commensurate with the value of the house and what we'd hope to get for the house. And these days, a laundry room in the basement is just not going to be honest. David right now has his office in our family room. I'd like to get him out of there, too. I'm going to stick him in the laundry room if we can build this on. So where we have it proposed is on the south portion of the house. And right now you can see the addition there. The window that you can see that you would be looking at as you walked down that little pathway is actually an original window that was taken from the dining room when they did an addition probably 30 or 40 years ago. And they put that that and two other windows from the dining room and put them in the garage. So we have three original windows that are in the garage, which, as you know, we're tearing that down. But we'd like to keep the windows if we can and use them in this small addition on the side. So that's where we have it proposed, and it is actually an addition to the addition as opposed to an addition to the original house. So actually, that window that you're looking at there is an original one, isn't the original window. So the house ended, and then they put on an addition, and we are proposing to have the laundry room then be to the right of what's now the family room, which was not there before. The house ended where our current dining room is. So if you're, I don't know if you have the plans in front of you. But if you look at, are you all looking at this by any, right there. So if you look, you come into the house from the top there, and you can see where the living room area is and where the square dining room table is. So the house used to end right there in that dining room. And so there's a screen now that would be just to the east of the dining room table. And three stairs that lead into that bigger room, which is at the bottom of the house. And that's the addition, and that is the family room. So it would be off of that family room that we would be building this small little addition, laundry room. That makes sense. So there was never anything there. We're not really attaching it to the house, although except for that one corner. It used to turn the corner. It will be the bump out there. If you can go to the photos. That is the front of the house. Next one. Either one, I mean, because you can see the new addition a little bit from both sides, whether you're on the north side or the south side of the house. But if you want, the one that's more pertinent is the one on the south, which is where the addition will go, that one there. So as you can see with the landscaping that we have and the fence that's there, you won't even see the addition from the street. In the winter, you'll see it a little bit more because it's not an evergreen. But all you can see from this shot is the original house. And so if we were to chop down that tree or that bush, which we're not very beautiful, then you might be able to see the edge of the addition. So we're hoping that with the landscaping that we have and the fence has been there for quite some time, that it really is not going to be noticeable from the street at all. Although, if that tree were gone, you would be able to see it. So I don't know if you have any questions about this or our plans for it. It's going to look just like the rest of the house. In fact, I think from the back of the house, it's going to make the house look symmetrical and really beautiful. Anybody have any questions?
Chris, let me ask Carla. Carla, are you able to see and or follow this through the plans in front of you?
I have the photos. Right.
Good.
I have it on the screen.
Just want to make sure, because you're not live, want to make sure that you've got eyes on the presentation.
I do. Luke sent me photos this morning, but I actually have it on the screen now. It's live. So I have it. No problem.
Okay. Please. Do you have any comments?
You're talking to Carla right now.
Yeah, I am. Carla, do you have any comments or questions?
No, I don't. The only comment I could say is that I think it will work. And having seen what Dave Reno Ogden, has done, in the past, I trust him.
Okay. John?
Yeah, look at this beautiful house. Looked at the elevation initially, you're like, oh, they're filling in underneath the overhang. But as I got more into it and understood it further, I realized, it's a good.
Right. It looks scary. It almost looks like it's in that front plane. And
exactly.
That would be very obvious and kind of clunky.
Clunky and not in keeping with the original. But when I took a look at it, I don't think you'll be able to see it. It works well with the plan.
I would agree with John's comments. Jan?
Yeah, I agree with John's assessment, too. I was concerned because I did a drive-by a couple times. And I thought, oh, no, they're going to take away that cantilevered look. And you're not. You're building.
Right, because the first cantilever will still be there.
Yeah, and so I think that'll be great. I'm glad you're going to keep the tree bush. And yeah, so I go along with all of what John said. And, of course, I am confident that the Reno Ogdens will do a responsible addition to that.
I have a good architect, so I have a lot of confidence in him, and this is kind of his style as well. But it'll be in keeping with the house. I mean, it'll be the same stucco, the same trim. Hopefully people won't notice that it was new. That's the hope.
Yeah.
If they can even see it.
And I think using one of the old original windows is, really is helpful to the design as well.
Well, then,
One other comment. It probably doesn't need to be said, but, it is a washer and dryer that you have up against that wall. And so that window, I don't know what the height of the sill will be, but for David, pay attention to that. And the vent that comes out the back of a washer dryer.
That was a discussion.
I'm sure.
Because I want my folding table. And all of that, but the window does fit.
It does, good.
And so we should be able to, or the other option, if it's putting a step or whatever in there, we can always put it on the wall that is into, which wall would that, the one that would back up against the room. So when you walked in the door, it would be to the left.
Okay.
That's not the plan right now, but it could also go there. Hopefully it can go on that wall right to the right where we'd be looking out.
I only mention it because architect as well, I'm always fighting with washers and dryers because they're always bigger than you think they're going to be. Ends up affecting elevation. So.
Yeah, and the other thing that David had even talked about, which is not my preference, but if we need to, there's almost enough room to put a stackable before the window would even start. So that would be another option if we find that it's not working right. We can put the stackables there so that we can then have the counter, my folding counter, to the left of it instead, and then have the windows be the window. There's only one on that side. There'll be two on the other.
I know the house is in good hands, so
it's a great – it feels like I don't live there. I feel like it's almost a museum piece. We feel more like caretakers. So I have no qualms saying, yeah, I live in a beautiful house. We didn't design it, but it's a beautiful house. So well. It's cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Beautifully designed.
It is indeed one of the most important structures in the village. Does anyone else have any comments or questions?
I do. I like the word that you use, caretaker, that you describe yourselves as caretakers.
And it'll be hard to let go of it at some point. I'm very old. You got to choose the right next owner. You know, we were vetted a little bit when we moved in. Do the same, I think.
Are there any other comments or questions? I would presume then that what we have in front of us is a request for a certificate of appropriateness, just to make sure that we have put everything out there. I have not heard any thoughts about any kind of conditions to the approval. If someone wants to discuss or propose any, now would be the time. I haven't heard any to this point. I have none.
I have none.
Okay. Then is there a motion to grant a certificate of appropriateness to the proposed changes at 559 Edgewood, significant property? Second?
I second.
Okay. Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
I stepped out of the room, and Commissioner Murr is not here. Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
So approved. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Now we just need some drawings and a permit. Yeah, appreciate it.
And contractors.
And a guy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Thanks, Chris. Okay.
Thanks, Christy.
Okay. David can be pulled back in.
Do we care? I don't even care about the draft.
Modestly. Okay. All right. Item. Discussion of contributing or noteworthy properties to consider for significant property status.
Oh yes, yeah. I had a question, Dave. I don't know if I'm misremembering from like many years ago that the commission discussed the Burma properties and whether those should be included as significant.
I think many of them already are.
Yeah.
And whether they were included or not was subject to sort of, for lack of a better term, a dual filter, the first being the architects who prepared the original architectural survey, and then the commission going through the draft of the survey to determine whether additional information was requested, required, desirable, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe the vast majority of them already are included.
Are they on? Okay. Okay.
I see
I think that may have been before I was actually on the commission, so.
I see this rolling right into the next topic, which is the Auvergne neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we do that, let's look at item four. Jan, you were looking at some of the properties that were identified as less than 50 years old by the volume one of the survey. What I am doing is I'm passing out that list. It's from page 70. It's a photocopy of page 71 of volume one of the survey that lists a variety of properties. And I think from our last discussion, Jan was going to continue with the FOIA request to determine whether we could nail down the specific construction date of some of these properties to determine whether they had passed the 50-year threshold. One of the hallmark in the criteria established by the Secretary of the Interior in the 1966 U.S. Historic Preservation Ordinance. It was kind of the guidepost for not only our survey, but a lot of preservation efforts throughout the country. And to that end, Jan?
So, at the last meeting, we had discussed which of these properties, I had gone through the survey reports, and we eliminated some of the properties right then. So I think we arrived at 16, maybe 17, on this noteworthy buildings less than 50 years of age. So 10 years later, what I found was about, 13 that are over 50, including 936 Franklin. I want to thank Luke for sending hundreds of documents in response to the big FOIA that I sent to Village Hall. There are over 700 documents. And this is permits and electrical permits and certificates of occupancy. But, you know, you don't know what's relevant. So there are 13. That are over 50. And I'm able to confirm that many of them look the same through sale sheets. Some we would have to further discuss to see if additions or changes. So there are 13 plus the four from the prior meeting that were in the packet. And those were really old buildings. And old houses, 527 Thatcher. Was that? Anyway, they're in the prior packet. So there are four of those.
And were any of those four properties that we had previously considered and rejected as a commission?
I don't think there were. I think you had gone through your list.
Okay. Do you know what the four are? Because I've got the photocopies in front of me of the ones from the original draft of those that did not make it. Can you read off
these four?
Yeah,
sure.
The addresses for those four.
Yep. So we've got 527 Thatcher. No, these were four homes that we discovered more information about a couple of them, the architect, and these were because of researching for house tours or sidewalk tours. But the information came wasn't in the survey.
That is
or
one,
wasn't in the significant property designation.
That is one we previously looked at and rejected. Perhaps there is additional new information that would change that.
Okay, the next one is 535 Keystone.
Which one is that?
That's the Odell House, the Hiram Odell House, 535 Keystone.
Yeah. Do we? Can you describe what the exterior looks like?
That's
because that's the block I live on.
No. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't memorized all the property addresses. I'm trying to understand.
Lincoln. I don't know if we have a picture in here. So it, you can't call it a Victorian or it started out as a Victorian and it was changed quite a bit. It was remodeled. It was changed to a two flat.
Yep. Okay.
F-35 Keystone.
It's small. It looks like it has more of a look. It looks more like that. Kind of white, grayish white. But it doesn't have a front porch, I don't think.
It has a coffin corner. Coffin corner is an odd architectural design from the latter portion of the 19th century because many people were waked from their home in order to take a coffin up into the second floor. There is basically a carved out area into the wall that allows someone to be able to maneuver a coffin up as opposed to just a mere football parlance on the night of the NFL draft. it's an interesting concept.
Yes. Okay, so there's that. Then the next one is 544 Thatcher, Blue House, was originally a two flat, and it has a lot of although it's one family dwelling now, it still has a lot of the elements, the architectural elements of the front. The second floor has a picture window just like the first floor. It has another. So anyway, that one, and that was built by George L. Thatcher for his mother-in-law. And then we have 629 Thatcher, which is a craftsman bungalow. It's stucco. And we found was the architect was Harry H. Mahler. Construction news. Those are the four.
So then by my count, we have potentially 17 properties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. To that end, I guess the question then becomes, how do we proceed, and more specifically, what would the village board like us to do? So I guess, Luke, I would ask you to speak with the village administrator and see if Matt has any ideas as to how we should next proceed now that we have 17. That would include, you know, potentially a presentation saying, in fact, that either Commissioner Sager's analysis in terms of some house walks that she has done on behalf of the Historical Society, or items included as buildings that could be of significance but were less than 50 years old at the time of the original survey. They had now apparently ripened thanks to analysis of the FOIA by Jan, so that they're all over 50 at this point. So we have potentially 17 properties that may require some architectural analysis consistent with what we previously done when the survey is done. If you could ask Matt how he would suggest that we will proceed, and we'll talk about that at our next meeting.
Will do. And I would like to add there, I was reading the ordinance today prior to the meeting, and there is some small stuff about like what the protocol would be.
To be sure.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to notify people, and there are public hearing requirements and things of that nature. But I like to sort of get his lay of the land simply because this is the first time that we will be seeking to add things since the survey was initially done. Is there any other further questions or comments about that one specific item?
Back up this list that you handed out. Those are now over 50 years old?
Okay, not all of them. And so...
Which ones are not, Jan?
Okay. Let me tell you which are not. Let me see if I've checked off somehow. So Arnott is 304 Ashland. It is actually a new construction, and it's 2001. Gross Hall, that's been demolished.
Which address is that?
So we're at 7400 Augusta, okay. Concordia Gross Hall demolished, 7400, they call it the KCC. That is not. The Chapel and Werner Auditorium is not. Let me make sure. Yeah, okay, that is not. 312 Franklin is not. 414 Franklin is not.
I see 302 Franklin.
Yeah.
It is. 302 Franklin is.
312.
312 is not on the list.
On my list. Well, this is weird. It's on my list.
But it's not Ellie's list.
In the report.
Page 71.
Page 127.
Oh. On the list, so that doesn't, it's a moot
okay.
point.
Okay.
So 302 is.
Fine. Okay. So 414, I'll read from book. So 414 is not. .203 Keystone is not. 7620 Madison, that's the.
Yeah.
That's weird. It is not. It's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That was strange. And then 7360. Well, here it's 7350 Oak, but I think it's 7360 Oak. I don't think there is a 73.
That's the coach house with the circular
that's
window.
That's the, yes.
Yeah,
it's on the property of 707 William, and that's the one that I got all kinds of FOIA. I mean, we can look and see if there's a 7350, but I don't think there is. Anyway.
Okay, so by my count, that then means 10 rather than 13 on that list. 553 Ashland, 820 Ashland, 1521 Forest, 302 Franklin, 936 Franklin, 336 Gale, 1201 Lathrop, 1518 Monroe, 7301 North, and 321 Park.
Okay. On this report, on the page 127 report, there's also Kreitzman Hall at Concordia. And that is 1950-1960. It was done in two stages. Okay. So that's on there. What
is
else?
Your street address?
7400 Augusta.
Okay. Augusta, can you spell Kreitzman, please?
K-R-E-T-Z-M-A-N-N. Okay, so we've got... Okay, well, so is it 7350 or is it 7360? Because Dave's coming up with a 7350.
Shows it as a Prairie School.
Prairie School.
Uh-huh.
But,
the internet, so I'm...
But it would... I mean, it'd be pretty obviously old.
That's old.
That's old. I mean, that would
That's
never
old.
Make a less than 50-year-old list.
Yeah. It may already be on the list.
We can go to the searchable.
Yeah.
See, I pulled down the information from the searchable
okay.
database, which was
okay.
7360.
Sure. Okay, so
we... So what else are we missing? We're missing one?
Looks like we have 15. We have 10 plus 4 from the prior
two.
Meeting plus Kreitzman. 4 and 1.
I want to... Okay. Oh, Crown Library is on this, on my copy of the report. And so that is at 7900 Division at Dominican. And that is the Rebecca Crown Library. And it became 50 years old in 1972.
And did someone indicate in the prior report that they thought it would be worthy of consideration in the future once it reached over 50?
Well, Chris.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah. Okay. So it's on the list in that I have of page 127 of the survey report. What else? What are we missing now?
So it appears that we have 16.
Okay. Let's
give
go down. I will read off the list.
Give or take 16.
Yeah.
We'll come up with a precise list.
Well, I have a list of the 17 right now. 304 Ashland. 533 Ashland, 820.
Right, but some of those you said don't.
304, you said it doesn't qualify.
304 doesn't qualify.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's it. 16. You're right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, it is.
Martin Braun and the Auvergne neighborhood. David, you had some thoughts you wanted to express?
No, I just thought I walked by those again. It definitely should be a historic district.
I would need something to add to your.
Is there any did we talk before that possibly that would be a district?
Yes. I'd like to just state for the record that the fact that we're considering this doesn't mean that we're designating these as significant. We're just saying that these may require some additional review.
If they make it as a district, there might be one or two that aren't significant, that aren't in later dates, that aren't in that street. So that's
let me clarify, David. I wasn't talking specifically about the district. I was talking about the list of the 16 properties.
Oh, we're going back to that.
Yeah, because basically what we're saying is this may require some further review.
Absolutely.
As opposed to giving it the stamp of authority at this point in time in the meeting.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts regarding a potential Auvergne district? Any thoughts, Carla?
I think it might be a good idea to, you know, because it is really a beautiful area there, and to have some more, I want to use the word, mid-century architecture included as significant in the village. And I guess, am I right that is not, that area is not in the historic district?
Correct, not currently, just the Wright House is.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the reason, by the way, is why I'm calling on you individually is not to slight anyone here present, but you're the only person who isn't physically present. So we can't gauge any nodding, approval, waving of hands, saying, I'd like to say something, et cetera, or just general interruptions, all of which are sort of par for the course.
Okay. I think so. And I guess my one question would be whether to does the historic district end on Edgewood? Is that the furthest west? Or does it end with Winslow House? And whether this should be its own neighborhood or whether, you know, if we choose to include them, whether the historic district should be just expanded to include those.
I think the thought may be because these have a certain uniformity of design and were sort of contemporaneous with each other. In large part, it may be benefiting of a separate district calling out that uniformity as mid-century modern. But I'm certainly, you know, interested in what the other commissioners would have to say.
It does border the historic district, as Jan just showed me here. The Winslow House and the house either side of Winslow House are, one to the north is significant, one to the south is non-contributing. Everything else on that block is noted as contributing in our initial survey, but now it's come of age where it can be its own district. And I think to have a mid-century district makes some sense in this case.
Yeah, I agree. I think it makes sense to to have, you know, have it as its own district. I mean, it is the only area, well, yeah, I guess it's really the only area that is, you know, only mid-century. I don't think there's another block.
All right. Next, discussion regarding the Historic Preservation Awards. Historically, May nationally is Historic Preservation Month. And as such, what we have typically done is when we have given out awards, we have given them out in May or shortly thereafter. There are six awards which are denominated in the ordinance, as well as a specific criteria. And I suppose the purpose for including this on the agenda tonight would be for me to renew my request if anyone has any homes that they have walked or driven or bicycled or otherwise moved past that they feel are worthy of some form of recognition for any one of the six criteria. Perhaps we should think about it for next meeting. And one of the ways to do that is we would need the homeowners to do a submission to us. There's a form online. I know that several of us have in the past knocked on doors and saying, hi, I'm a member of the Historic Preservation Commission. Do you have interest in a recognition of your property for the various purposes of recognizing what you've done to it? And I would kind of...
Luke, do you know how many building permits have been issued in the past year and a half? Is that a quantifiable number? Do you have any idea?
Yes, I think we could get that number. And I also think there might be a way to, although I'm not sure, to be able to see if there was a historic preservation component to it. Although I'm not sure, I'm still relatively new on the software. You're speaking, I would like to say Village Administrator Walsh and I were also discussing today. I'm in charge of the social media, so if we were, I didn't know if residents, sounds like they can apply for themselves, so we could make a little newsletter, social media post regarding these and get them out.
Right. Yeah, they can in fact self-select and tell us that they'd like us to consider.
Just anything, a list of permits or addresses, we could drive around on Saturday and pick some buildings up, probably.
Yeah, I'm thinking of one particular property. I don't know that the work that was done to it falls in the category of something that would rise to the level of a building permit, but just in terms of the general addition of some decorative elements as well as a period-appropriate paint scheme, landscaping, et cetera,
streetscape compatibility.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect, yeah. Is something that I would think I would suggest that we consider that particular property for an award. So I'll knock on the homeowner's door and see if they have interest, and hopefully within the next couple of weeks I'll be able to have that discussion with them.
Are we looking at a time period of a year, year and a half, 2 years? 20 years, what do we?
I mean, it's been a while since we did it. I would think sometime, you know, considering the pandemic and the experience that several of us either have had or will shortly have with respect to finding contractors, I would probably take it back to, you know, I don't know, 2020 or 2021 at the latest.
2020, even that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
COVID hit at what, 2018? When did COVID?
Yeah, but in any event, certainly that kind of created an interregnum for a lot of work in the village, as well as just finding folks thereafter.
Do you think that there's a beautiful detached garage on Gale Street that's?
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's John?
Bucks, you know, north of Washington.
Next, discussion of additional ways to protect significant properties is sort of one of our catch-alls. Does anyone have any thoughts that they would like to raise? I know that Jan is waded deep in the weeds. Congratulations for that, all the FOIA stuff, to figure out some additional properties that we may wish to consider as significant properties and how we would get there. So again, thanks very much. Anyone else have any other thoughts?
None this evening for me. None this evening.
Indeed. Is there any other business that people would like to bring to or?
No.
I heard a no from Carla.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I would just like to say in the future, I think you guys will be working with me a lot more, and I'm excited to be on the historic, be a staff on for historic preservation. I worked a little bit at my internship with it in Geneva, and I'm excited to be a part of this.
We look forward to working with you. And, you know, welcome.
Agreed.
Let's say pass along congratulations.
Absolutely.
On that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is the elimination of the interim tag is richly deserved. We look forward to working with them for the next couple of years at least. And it's something that we look forward to the future. Good stuff.
Was that Geneva with Illinois with the Swedish Fest and the.
Yes, it was.
My wife did, for a long time, did the marketing for all those festivals in the town and attend all that stuff.
They have a pretty rugged HBC, for lack of a better term, scene out there. Some pretty interesting houses.
Yeah. There's a Frank Lloyd Wright stuff up there.
Interesting stuff out there.
Oh, it's great stuff.
In particular. One property I'm thinking of above the Fox River that's clearly late 19th century. Well, if there's no other business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Raina Ogden.
Aye.
And Commissioner Foran.
Aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.